Well, we added some more chairs in here
because lots of folks are coming to church.
So this gives you more chance to spread out and have more room. And if you keep inviting your friends, and then I don't know what to do. So. Bring them all. I have never been involved in building a house. They both have interesting stories to tell about their experience. The closest I've come is I built the girls a playhouse once. We were living in North Carolina at the time, and Tiffany and Sarah were 7 and 5 years old, respectively. Builders go back and examine the blueprints. Every time there's an uncertainty or perplexity, every time there's confusion about what to do next or how to do it, they go back to the blueprints. And that same principle holds true in life. You can't say you're honest without a blueprint. You can't say you're family without a blueprint. You can't say you're safe without a blueprint. Isn't it amazing that people in construction work, you never know if you're going to find out how to do it. A lot of times, people try to craft together something that they like, without a time to do it. They just think that they're going to do it. In our series in Living a Revolutionary Life, the fourth key to that is living under the authority of Scripture, living by the blueprint of God's Word. And the world may laugh at us for that. They may think, what, are you kidding? Are you still paying attention to, still reading, trying to, you know, obey and follow this book that's, you know, several thousand years old, that's outdated, that's outmoded, that is irrelevant to life? Are you still trying to follow that? They may mock us and scoff at us for that. But God tells us that to live a revolutionary life, to be the kind of person He calls us to be, we need to be people who follow God's instruction manual daily. As we examine this topic, I want us to look at what we believe about the Bible. And then what can we do? A brief look at how to get into the Word so that the Word of God gets into us. And then
How can we change? How God wants to use His Word to change us? Our church constitution states in our doctrinal statement, we believe the Bible to be the inspired Word of God, without error in the original writing, as in the actual autograph and manuscript that Moses wrote, that Peter came from, and I know it's in the original autograph, but it's inspired and without error in the original writing, and the full authority in doctrine and life. And in that statement are three very important truths that the founders of our church put in there deliberately. Inspired, without error, and authority. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, Paul the Lord says, all scriptures are inspired by God and profitable for teaching, to teach, to correct, to bring in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate to equip for every good work. To define what we believe about the Bible, we need to look at the creation and the ability. None of it is not inspired. All scripture is inspired by God. The result is that we have the Word of God written by men of God, inspired not only in its concept, but in the very words used to express it. The human writer, the human has one who has received the revelation and actively participates in its writing while God gives the revelation and certainly comes to oversee the writing. Then you have infallibility. Because God inspired every word, then there's no myth. There's no myth, there's no make believe, there's no truth in the Bible. It's God is behind the writing. And to do it perfect, and the result must be perfect. Infallible, absolutely flawless, and therefore fully trustworthy and reliable. Another word has become important in the last 40 years or so. That's the word connected. It's an anatomical of the seminary that has said that the word is infallible. What that meant. And they view it as, yes, infallible, but still aspects of the devil. We're not so sure about that. We think it might have errors or human stuff crept in that where we're not sure we can fully trust it. And that happened at two seminaries, Princeton, back in the early 1900s. The authority of the Bible. If the Word of God is inspired by God Himself, and it is there, and if it is therefore infallible and inerrant, then it is the final authority for our lives. There is nothing that has greater authority for us than the Bible. It is the final authority. It is the very revelation of the will of God, and we must submit to it. It is the compass that we are to rely on for direction, the counsel we listen to in making wise decisions, the benchmark we use for evaluating everything in life. And that means that we need to give up the other authorities that we used to listen to because they are unreliable. They are not the final authority. We used to listen to our culture. Everybody's doing it. That's the sentiment. So if everybody's doing it, that's good enough for me. Let's do it. We've given that up. We used to listen to tradition. We've always done it that way.
Well, that's not the authority. The authority is the Bible. What does the Bible say? We used to listen to human reason. It seems logical. And of course, we have a reasonable faith. We don't just, you know, sacrifice our minds on the altar of a leap of faith in somewhere. It is a reasonable, rational faith that we embrace. We have to engage our minds as Christians as we trust God. But the human reason is subservient, it is under the final authority of God's word. And the wisdom is to do emotion. It feels good. It feels right. And that again is something that we have given us. We now bow to the final authority of God's word. Those things are gone. Those authorities for us are over. We now submit to the perfect standard of God's final authority through His holy word. Let's think about that. If I want to know how to get to heaven, the Bible is my authority. If I want to know how to do what I want, the Bible is my authority. If I want to know how to raise my children, the Bible is my authority. If I want to know how to be a good steward of my family, the Bible is my authority. If I want to know how to grow in church and God is good, the Bible is my authority. If I want to know how to use my gift and talent in the service of others, the Bible is my authority. If I want to know how to identify the sin and bring it to the sin, the Bible is my authority. If I want to know how to approach some ethical dilemma, the Bible is my authority. If I want to know how to have victory in some area of my life, the Bible is my authority. If I want to know how to love others, the Bible is my authority. If I want to know how to do anything of eternal significance, the Bible is my authority. Now, there are lots of other books out there written that deal with how to live your finances, how to live your life, how to live your life. God, infallible, inerrant, and fully authoritative for our lives. Now, because the Bible is authoritative over our lives, we believe that it can benefit us in daily life. Remember the passage that was read earlier today, says that it was impossible, all scriptures inspired by God, and the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Fourth, healing. God's Word heals. Every single one of us has been wounded in some way in the course of life. Everywhere we go, people experience pain, disappointment, rejection, defeat. But God's Word brings healing. I wouldn't be standing here in front of you today if it weren't for the healing that I have repeatedly found in God's Word. And then fifth, happiness. Really joy, but I need another H. So, I think of happiness as being circumstantial. It comes and goes up and down, kind of like a roller coaster, depending on your circumstances. But joy is a fruit of the Spirit that is beyond, that transcends circumstances. It's not based upon, doesn't waver with circumstances.
We are blessed by God, and there is joy in the Lord that the world can't understand. But you and I can understand it more as we delve into the Word of God and understand what it is that He's given us that brings us great joy no matter what. And there's much more that we benefit from the Word of God. But that's what we believe about the Bible. We believe that it was inspired by God, infallible, beyond a source of truth. We believe that we profit from benefits from it, from healthy, from the Word of God. Well, if that's what we believe about the Word of God, what do we need to change with the Word of God? If we want to live a revolutionary life, what do we need to do with God's Word? Well, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself to prove unto God a workman that is not meant to be ashamed, and then actually do the Word of God. A simple way to remember what we need to do with God is to navigate the Word of God. Five fingers gathering the Bible. This really intends to provoke you to be not trying to pick it apart. It's not a big in-depth study. You're not going to be able to do it. You're going to have to dive into the sentence structure. You're not going to be able to charge the outline. The passages. You just need to read it. You need to hear that. 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 He can bring that to mind for you, and you can use that as an instructive tool for that person you're trying to help. So memorizing, and then meditating is the last part. Dwelling on God. And I have copies of this, by the way, in the back. It's a lot more detailed than this particular drawing, but it gives you accompanying verses and little deeper explanations about each of those five things, so those are available for everybody in the back. And also there's a handout back there as well on the process of more in-depth Bible study of observation, interpretation, application, a series of questions and things you can go through in terms of how do I learn to observe specific things from a text of Scripture, and then what are the principles for properly interpreting that passage, and then how do I apply it to my life? What are some questions I can ask myself that God might want to prompt me with to apply it to my life? But if we're really viewing the Bible as fully authoritative over our lives, then we're going to want to immerse ourselves in it so that God might transform us into the character He wants us to be. And that means we need to be digging into His Word regularly. General William K. Harrison was the most decorated soldier in the 30th Infantry Division, which was rated by General Eisenhower as the number one infantry division in World War II. General Harrison was the first American to enter Belgium, which he did at the head of the Allied forces. He received every decoration for valor except the Congressional. General Harrison was a soldier. He lived a very busy, very hectic life, so he was a 20-year-old cadet at West Point. He committed himself to reading the Bible through every year. He read like 3 or 4 chapters out of the Old Testament, 3 or 4 chapters out of the New Testament. And at that pace, you finish the New Testament by the time you get to Jesus' mind. So then suddenly you just say, what's the New Testament again? And you finish by the time you get to the middle of the Psalm somewhere. You read it the third time, and by then you will be beginning the minor prophets. There was a fourth time that you finish that up. So in the fourth years of reading the Old Testament, you read one whole time, and the New Testament, you read four times. It is no wonder that his body and his wisdom were legendary. It is not surprising that God's word translated every area of his man's life. And especially every one of the great prophets he faced was informed by the scriptures. People marveled at this knowledge of the Bible and its ability to be enlightened. The world is a lot more people than the world is a lot more people. 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 As to the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And God wants to use that living, active, sharp, two-edged sword in your life. So take a moment and think about what you think about. What do I think about? Chocolate? Some would say golf, but that's really not true. The goal is to not think about golf. If you think about golf, it just ruins your game, so you don't think about golf. So what do we got? We got chocolate. That's what we got, chocolate, right? No, I think about a lot more than that, of course, and so do you. The point is we need to be thinking about the things that God wants us to think about, and we need to be thinking about those things God's way. As our minds are renewed by the Word of God, we'll think more about Jesus. We'll think about our Savior and how He loved us so much that He sacrificed all for us. We'll think about the beauty and splendor of our risen Lord who is coming again. we'll think about Jesus more. As our minds are renewed on by the Word of God, we'll think more about the kind of person Jesus wants us to become. How we're to grow in godly character and become more like Christ. We'll think about the sin that He wants rooted out of our lives and how He wants to replace that by the fruit of the Spirit. As our minds are renewed by the Word of God, we'll think more about what Jesus wants us to do. We'll think about the mission that He's given us to reach the world, the gospel of salvation. We'll think about those who are lost and dying about Christ and how to be more effective in reaching them. We'll think about how we are called away from you with the compassion of Christ to help the poor, the widow, the imprisoned, the downtrodden. As our minds are renewed by the Word of God, we'll think about more about the principles and precepts of Scripture that teach us biblical values and then that inform and guide us in daily decisions. We'll think about how to live out the life transforming experience that God has given us in the As our minds are renewed by the Word of God, we'll think more about the victory that we have in the life and how by God's grace and power, the world of death and death are defeated by us. We'll think about how God's calling us to live through and how His Spirit gives us the strength to live like that in the very spirit of the good world. As our minds are renewed by the Word of God, we'll think
Jesus' name.